I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Ice Planet Barbarians by Ruby Dixon. Are you ready? Okay, so first episode of the...
And we're laughing. We're already laughing.
Tell us how you came across. We chatted a little bit about this in our last podcast of 2022, but You're the one who found this book. So share with our family here.
Between the two of us anyway, I certainly can't claim credit for that. So it's been all over TikTok. That's where I've seen it. So over on BookTok, you know, I'm a frequent consumer, an infrequent poster, but it was just everywhere there. Everybody was talking about it, was seeing it everywhere. And then I started seeing it on Instagram as well. And I was like, what is this? It just doesn't sound like, you know, I haven't read any sci-fi romances before. There was so much about it. I was like, I'll give it a shot. And I did. And it's pretty addictive, as you have now found out. I only read the first one last year, but then we talked about it during our wrap up. So our last episode, if you haven't listened to that, and you looked up a couple of the highlights and they're pretty attention grabbing.
Very much so. Also, the reviews, there were like over 15,000 4.5 star reviews, right? I think, for the first one, which always piques my interest. But
yep.
I mean, I gotta say, like, I started, I was like, all right, after you said it, because you've never let me down with a book, right? You've shared some pretty, I didn't think I'd like ACOTAR. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Probably yep, we've done fantasy, so now we go to sci-fi.
Exactly. But I literally consumed, I'm on book 5 in like, how many weeks? Maybe like 2 weeks?
Two? Yeah. If that.
They're short, so I will.
They are short. Yeah. They're like, you know, 2 or 3 hour reads, I'd say, on average. I have now read the first 6. So
yesterday you said you were on 5.
And then I read 6 after that.
Okay. It's still good. Like I should.
Yeah. Because I wanted to see. So like at the end of book 5, there's just one of the human women is left unresonated.
Yes, yes.
And so I was like, I want to see what happens with her. Okay. So I read her story, but then a whole new can of worms gets opened up because suddenly there are more women. So then I'm like, ah, dang, now I just want to keep going.
Oh,
yeah. You have a shock face. I know. I think I might take a break for a little bit and then I'm going to go back into this. So I didn't think, like, when I first saw there was 21 of them, I'm like, I'm not going to want to read 21 of, like,
daunting,
a, you know, right. They all have the different plot points and stuff, but and they're kind of like serial, like you could read them individually, but they all do expand on each other and they all have, you know, they just center on a different couple essentially. But now I definitely think I'll be reading all 21. And I found one. So I was just looking down the list on my Kindle for what I like, which ones, like what the order is, because I noticed that some of them have like a different subtitle. So they're like a different series that connects to that series. And I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but the second or one of the other little series is called the Ice Home series. And the first book is called Lauren's Barbarian.
Oh, well, now I have to read it. I
mean, right? That one's super short. So I actually started reading it a little bit this morning. And so she's Lauren goes by Lo.
my little, well, I guess I do have nieces.
There's the cover.
Okay. I mean, dark hair. You know. That's so funny. I am known as Auntie Lolo from my little, like my nieces and my, like, my friends' kids, right? Like, you better essentially. Yeah.
Honorary nieces.
Yes, that's the word.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you may have to give that one a shot. So that one, when I started it, it starts out with Liz and Harlow. So two of the girls from the first series, but they found another ship that has like 20 people on it.
Oh.
So it's really going to expand this world. And they're not all human either.
Oh. All right.
So it's really just opening up new things. Yeah.
I have to thank you though, because again, like, I got sucked right in.
Yeah. And so, isn't it, like I said, right? Like, it's not, you know, you're not reading Charles Dickens or something here, right?
No,
we know
okay
we're reading about
yeah.
big blue, sexy aliens mating with human girls.
Yes.
Right. Yes. We know what we're in for, but it is well written for the, like, it's not, you know, like we, like you said, it's not high literature, but right. it is so enjoyable to read.
You know what I love? So yeah. So, I mean, we'll just chat book one, I guess, here, right? Like, what should we chat here? Just the first one? Probably.
I mean, they all just sort of wrap together.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Then we'll do like what up until what we read. So what I found super interesting though, is each girl, right? So I've gone through Georgie, Liz, who I love. I love Liz.
I know you love
Liz.
She's
freaking hilarious. I love her.
She is funny.
She's so blunt. Like, I just love her. Kira, Harlow, and I'm in Tiffany's book right now. But I'm noticing a common theme. I'm wondering if you're noticing a common theme with these girls too. They all live very lonely lives, like on Earth, and basically have nothing kind of going for them.
Yeah. Or like people that will miss them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially Harlow. That story really, like, I was like, oh my gosh. You know, like for her, she was like, I'm just happy to literally be alive. You know,
right. So because she had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
On Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I found it interesting that, like, you kind of learn a little bit about their backstories, and it's all kind of the same. They're all the same age. Like, I'm just wondering if
exactly the same age. They're all.
I'm wondering
22, right?
22. I'm wondering if we'll get kind of like more about that. Like, why are they 22, and why do they all kind of have the same? Again, like, Georgie's what, like, single, like, I think she hates her job. Like, she doesn't really have, like, or like, who's one of theirs, like, doesn't have parents, like her mom and dad are dead, you know, like, don't have really anyone there on Earth. Yep. So I just found it, like, part of me was, as I was reading, like, okay, these aliens are brutal. We'll get to that. But I almost feel like they were saved at the same time. Isn't it? Do you feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah. They for sure end up a lot happier than they were on Earth. None of them is like, you know, even if, so they have this, you know, that little alien symbiont that basically lets them survive on
Hoth,
as they call it.
Yeah. Not
Hoth. Yeah. Kui.
I think it's funny because they call it the cootie, or Liz calls it.
She calls it their cootie.
So I just keep reading it as cootie. Like, you know,
A few of them adopt that too. Yeah. That sort of taking the choice away from them a little bit, like, it's an imperative to mate, and it sort of picks someone else for them that would be a good mate. And some of them fight against that, right? Because they want it to be their choice.
Yeah.
Some of them just give right into it. And some of them, like with Georgie in the first book, her male Vectal starts resonating for her before she even has one.
Yes.
Which doesn't happen to, I think there's only one other that happens to. So it's interesting, the different responses. Mm-hmm. But so even that being, you know, it makes them happy, and then they're having, you know, mind-blowing sex. So they're pretty happy to be there and happy to be alive, but none of them ever voice like, I'm good here, but, you know, I wish I could go home, or I wish I had this from home. Until I think it's in the, I'm trying to remember now, because I read them so quickly last night, 5, 6, and then I started the Lauren one this morning.
I know Tiffany's
there is one where there's one where someone does actually think about her roommate, how she had a pet bird, and her parents. She goes, "Oh, my poor parents." So that pattern might shift a little bit, but I totally agree with you that is the case for the first handful of girls. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just found like a common thread there. But so I will say, when we talked about this a little bit, just if anyone, I mean, I guess if you're listening to this, either you're interested in reading, but you probably read, right. But I do appreciate her trigger warnings in the beginning, because there is some hard stuff to read.
Yes.
You know,
especially in two of the books. So in the first book, because we pick up with Georgie on the spaceship. So she's been abducted by aliens. She's with a group of girls, and it's pretty brutal. So there's two species of aliens that are on the ship with them. Then they crash land on this other planet, and then that's where they meet the big blue guys. So the big blue guys are the nice aliens.
Yes.
The other ones are the ones that abducted them and mistreated them. And she talks about that.
Like, the little green men. Basketball orange.
Basketball heads, they call them, because they have like their head texture is like a basketball. Yeah. Those guys are particularly rough. They seem to be kind of like the brute force for the brains of the Little Green Men.
Oh, okay.
Little Green Men are like the bosses, and then those are like their
heavies. See that. Yeah. Like the security kind of, you know.
Yes. Like, yeah. So she includes in the beginning that there is, of course, abduction, survival situations. It's like a, I do actually really like that part of the stories where it's the survival stuff. Like, you know, we must hunt. We must figure out how, if we can plant stuff, you know, they eat different kinds of food. They just eat raw meat. Like, or can we figure out something to eat as humans? Like the survival kind of stuff. I like that kind of part of the story.
Yeah.
But then we do have rape by those aliens on the spaceship. Yeah. And that happens to a few of the girls, and it has ramifications that we deal with in a couple of the later books, including like PTSD response.
Yeah, Tiffany, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that our main introduction between the first two characters, so Georgie, who's the main character of the first book, and Vectal, who ends up being the leader of the tribe, as she says in the intro here, involves dubious consent.
Yeah, I can't say
I would actually say it involves zero consent.
Yes, I agree.
Because she wakes up and he's essentially performing oral sex on her.
Yeah, I had a hard time. That kind of sat really uncomfortably with me. Mm-hmm. And then she starts to enjoy it, but like, it's just, I don't know. She enjoys it from the start.
Like, she's like, oh, what's happening? Oh, but it feels really good. Oh, but what's happening? You know, it's.
I kind of, I mean, it's how it's written, but that's just, yeah, I didn't enjoy that.
I agree. And it becomes a theme throughout the books that they essentially, when it comes out that, you know, they were sexually assaulted by the other aliens, these aliens, the Sakui, they are like completely thrown by that. It's like not a thing in their culture that women are taken without consent. However, I'm like, well, but that's actually like, I guess they don't really see that as
maybe because
the first one,
or because is that before or after his cootie like starts?
After it's already like purring, resonating.
So I wonder if maybe like, I mean, again, I'm not making excuses here because I still think it's wrong, but I'm just wondering like to Vectal, if like that, because they are, I mean, they're called barbarians. They are barbaric, right? So they're very, just picture like
they're
Avatar.
Like a very early culture.
Yes,
they like visually like Avatar with horns.
Avatar with horns. That's what I picture, right? This whole time.
Yeah.
But yes, they're very barbaric. And I think that their culture is you're my mate and this is what we do. Even though she doesn't have, but he has to know she doesn't have, because her eyes are blue.
He does. He's just like overwhelmed by it. I think it's described like, you know, the smell intrigues him and then he gets closer to investigate it and can't help himself. So it's my least favorite scene.
Yeah, same.
For sure.
Same.
Well, I mean, the stuff on the ship is also terrible. But,
But like,
but we're meant to understand that those guys are terrible. Right. Yes. And then so this one ends up being this guy that she loves and we're supposed to love, but that's how it started out. So they're not my favorite couple for that reason.
Same
in all of it. And I actually highlighted something in the book where, so after Georgie has, so she landed with everybody, she went off to find help. That's when she found Vectal. There was they obviously couldn't understand each other. So there was a communication thing. She was trying to tell him that she needed to go back and get the other girls. She eventually does communicate that with him. And, then it comes up that the tribe is actually short females. So they're going to be super excited that there's all these new women. And so this is what the quote that I highlighted. I'm trying to get help for my friends and not hook them up with alien boyfriends. I think back to Vectal's greeting of me in which he just grabbed me and initiated sex. Sure, I orgasmed a few times, but that didn't give him the right to make the decision to mate me, nor did it give him the right to decide that the others got mates without their say-so. No one is being mated without their agreement, I say, crossing my arms. It is agreed, my Georgie, Vectal says. I am the chief. They will listen to me. Any male who wishes to mate a human woman must have her agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be part of why it's different in all the other stories, even though they resonate. So the cooey inside them starts purring for another. If they probably in their culture, they would just go along with it then. It's like, okay, well, it knows best.
Right.
Whereas they're like, no, now they're knowing that the women must say Yes. And as I was saying before, there's like, you know, some of them fight it a little longer than others.
Yeah.
Because they want it to be their choice. And then especially the ones that have the trauma response, right? Like in Tiffany's case, she has, you know, a physical response when he tries to touch her. And they have to work through that. She wants to work through it and asks him to help her work through it.
I'm at that part where she asks him and he's like, I need to think about this, which I do appreciate because he's like, okay, I get what you're asking me, but you know, that's hard for me. Like that is a lot, you know, to ask, you know what I'm like, I could see both.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. No, she trusts him. They're friends. And so she thinks he's a perfect person to He's not really a person. He's the perfect partner to to practice with because she trusts him. But then he's worried because he does have feelings for her. And he's like, well, if, you know, if I can't make this experience good for her, is she going to then hate me forever?
Yeah.
And also he's always had this intention in his head that he would only ever, like some of them are pretty free with their bed play, as they call it. Like if they want to enjoy each other before they've resonated for someone, they do that.
Yeah.
So like Vectal has had partners before Georgie comes along, but it's different with Tiffany's guy because he wanted to wait until he resonated and then only be with his mate. He wanted to save himself for resonance.
For his mate, which I love.
Yeah. And so then he's like, well, you know, if I do this with you, what if then we don't resonate? You resonate for someone else or I do. And then, you know. So yeah, he takes his time and he thinks about it. And of course, it does end up working out that they resonate for each other, of course.
Oh, good. I'm not there yet, but I figured as much.
Yeah. You know it's going to happen with each of the books.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see if the model changes later on. But so far, there's going to be a Sakui male and a human female as the subject of each book. And by the end of the book or sometime wherein, they're going to end up together. It's like you know, it's a romance. So it's guaranteed happily ever after.
Yes. I will say, so there was another, was it, I think it was Kira, right? In Kira's book.
Yeah.
Wasn't it similar? How do you say his name? Is it Ehako?
Ehako,
Okay. That's how I said it in my head. Okay. So he... really, right? Was it her that was yes, she was hesitant because she likes him, right? But she was like, what if we haven't resonated? Like, what if I basically like let him into my heart and then he goes and resonates for someone else and now I'm going to be alone, right? Like, that was her kind of like emotional struggle through that. I loved their story though. She's also a badass too. I loved that.
She is. So she's the one who had the translator in her ear, right?
Yes.
For the, from the initial aliens, she was like the first one that they took on that ship. And they implanted this like shell shaped translating device.
Yeah.
And she's been trying to get that out. But when she realizes that they can probably track her through it, she like sacrifices herself to kind of lure the aliens, the bad aliens, away from, technically they're all aliens because none of them is from this planet. Right. Even the blue guys, like we find out that they crash landed there like almost 300 years ago and have like survived, but their ancestors went there for like a pleasure cruise and their ship crashed. Yeah. So everybody's aliens, including the humans. But she realizes that they might come and find her using the tracker as a locator. They all had locators that they all cut out initially that were like implanted in their arms. But because she can't get this thing out, she essentially goes off to, you know, to make sure that they're not going to find everybody else. But there's another ship that they found. So the ship that the Sakui initially crashed in is very useful because not only does it have a medical bay, which is how Kira eventually gets that translator out.
Has hot water.
It also has all these like, you can like, hot water, a shower.
I was like, wow, download.
It can download the language of like whatever languages you want. You can have, I think they said up to five. It can download them into your brain. So like laser beam it in there. You get a headache for a day, but then they can talk to each other. So everybody, the Skui all end up eventually going there to get the mostly it's English.
Yes.
There is one girl that they said is French, but she speaks English as well. So they get an English brain dump and then they get the Sakui brain dump for the human women so that they can end up talking to each other.
Well, and Kira gets the other. She asked, remember she asked.
She is smart.
She was very smart. She said, how many species are on this planet? Right. And that's when we also learn that there's like a rogue guy out there, right? That doesn't match
who's
up
not
with the
part
tribe.
Of the at the tribe. They're like, oh, that number must be wrong. But then we find out later why it's not
why.
Wrong.
And then she asks, she was very smart. I feel like out of all of them, so far, she is the smartest one, because I would have never thought about that. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, how many species are on this planet? And I want the languages of all of them. Do you know what I mean? And she's like, she knew going in, like, this is my plan. I'm going in and I'm going to try to take it. And how she asked the ship to give her that little like packet. Like, she literally asked, like, what can I do to basically poison,
to bring down that other ship?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you are very smart. You know, like,
it was very smart.
Yes, it was. She basically drugs them all, right? Going to the back to the, she knew they were going to take her. She could speak the language, right? Yep. Like,
yeah,
basically drugs them all and then like kills them all. Like, and then crashes a ship. And then I'm thinking, Star Wars, honestly. I know they keep like, they keep bringing that up like in the book that it's very Star Wars like, but I was,
well, they call the planet, not Hoth.
Not Hoth.
Because
yeah,
it's right. like Hoth, the ice planet, right? Yeah. But so it's not Hoth.
Right. So. So I'm literally like envisioning how she's like releasing all of the,
pods,
yeah, and like saving one and like doing all the stuff, and then she gets on the pod, and then like, really, I was like, oh, this would be like great and on film.
it would actually, yeah, it would have to be. I mean, if they could do Avatar, they could do it, right? But
totally, I mean, Avatar, they literally do it well. Room, I just saw that, like, there's not even. Yeah. That. It's just,
I know, they just have like little battery. Dividers on the floor, like, this is gonna be bushes and this is gonna
be... yeah,
it's so yeah, so they could do it, but yeah, that was a super exciting and impressive moment. And that one leads to into Harlow's book, right? Because Harlow sees that crash and thinks Kira has gone down with the ship.
Yes.
And it's the rogue extra Sakui guy who finds her and kind of takes her back to his cave, and they end up spending like a year alone together because she thinks that Kira's dead. She thinks that Ehako and is it Hayden?
Hayden
was
I
with
think.
Them too. Hayden, yeah.
I
think the pronunciation is Hayden. Actually, in the back of one of the books, there's a pronunciation guide.
Oh, there is. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's in the back of 4 or 5.
That would have been really helpful.
most of them were exactly like you would think they would be pronounced. That was the only one because it's H. A E, so I would have said like Hayden, but it's Hayden. Anyway,
The people of Ice Planet. Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is it in book 4? Book 5?
It's in book 5. You're right.
Yeah.
And so... the caves they're all in. Like, yes. Okay. Pronunciation and who's in what cave? Like cave 1 is this in this couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can make a little floor plan.
Yeah.
Of the cave system. So Harlow is, I would say that she's also really smart, though. I was really impressed because in her book, one of the things that she does, she's gone to the reason she went when Kira was going to get rid of her shell thing. She wanted to go because, again, she had like brain cancer on Earth.
Yes.
And she wanted to know if it was gone. And so she went in the medical bay and had a scan there and found out that her, like, their cootie. was actually, so it heals them, makes their bodies work better, adapt to that planet. They're still not as resilient as the big blue guys, but it does make them a lot tougher. And so it has essentially gotten rid of her tumor.
Yes.
But it has to work extra hard to do it. However, while she's there, she's also, I guess she has like a mechanic background, and she starts engineering, fixing their stone cutter that they would have used a long time ago, the people that initially crash landed, they would have used it to smooth out the caves system that they have, because she realizes that there's more caves that they could open up. And then some of the caves still have rough sides because they haven't been smoothed out. Yeah. So she fixes this thing and she ends up opening up like a whole nother cave system to make more space now that there's so many more people there.
But I also loved, yeah. So I see Harlow, I loved her outlook because, again, she was like, I was literally going to die on Earth, so anything is better than being on Earth, right? And she just adapted, even though, like, she literally couldn't understand him. Like, she never got the brain dump, right, for Rook.
And it wouldn't have mattered because her guy has been alone since he was, like, 7.
Exactly.
His father had taken him away from the main tribe, and then his father died. And so he's been alone. And so as they talk a little, she does know a few words here and there that she's picked up. He starts to remember a few words here and there. But essentially, she teaches him English in the
because
year that they're
even,
alone together at the beach.
He doesn't even know what
he was essentially non-communicative.
Right.
No, he doesn't know anything.
His dad
he was a he was a kid. So he doesn't know about sex. He doesn't know about anything. So she's like the,
but I loved that about
leader of all that.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. Like she basically just like teaches him how to like not be so barbaric, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? Like just she teaches him English and like he just learns a lot from her. But I also loved how, you know, I guess he moves her for thinking that she's not safe, but they end up by the beach and they develop their own little, and you know, life there for a year, right?
Yeah.
She's away for a year. And like
she gets pregnant.
Yes, she gets pregnant. They have their little house by the beach. It's not as cold, right? I was like, this is where I would be if I was on Nama.
Yeah, it's a little more mild.
Yeah, a little bit more mild. There's more food options, I guess, right? Because then they have whatever.
It's like those lobster-like creatures.
Yes. And she's really sad when, how do they get found again?
The other guys come. So they, every once in a while, they make the trek to the ocean to collect salt.
Liz. Right.
Yeah. Yes, so yes. Liz is in that group because Liz is the one female who she had a background like on Earth of hunting, and she can use she fashions a bow and arrow there, and she like refuses to not go out hunting with her partner.
I love her.
So
yeah,
they
she's
actually
like, get out of here. She's very what's the word I'm looking for? She's not about to let any man hold her back. And that's what I love about her, right? She's very much like, why? Because I have a vagina. You're going to tell me I can't do this? Like, fuck you.
Right.
And I
like a lot of the girls seem to like really relax into like the female
role,
traditional female role, which is what they actually, some of their females go out hunting, it sounds like. But for the most part, all the girls, they, you know, do all the stuff in the cave because it's brutal out there too. They have like, you know, the bitter season and the brutal season.
Yes. So. And also the men do want to, because their species was essentially going to die off because they didn't have women, right, to help to procreate. They also feel like they need to protect the women and keep them safe so that their tribe can expand. But yes, I love that Liz is like,
so very protective of the women.
Yes. And she's like, you're not. And they get exiled essentially, right? But that's their punishment. Like she gets to go. It's not even really like a punishment.
No, they love it.
Yeah, they love it.
They just get to go off 6 days a week. They get to go off and hunt by themselves and just
be in our own cave.
They want. And then and then one day a week they come back to the main cave.
Exactly.
So it's them. They come to collect salt.
That's right.
And it's Liz that finds Harlow. And that's when Harlow finds out that she thought that two of the males and Kira were dead. She's thought that for this whole year. And so Liz sets her straight. And that's when she realizes that it might be okay to go back. But what her partner, who's the guy who was like essentially the boy alone in the wilderness, he was told by his father that they were bad ones. Right. Because his father there was a beef with the tribe and that's why he left related to his mate. Yeah. There was drama. So he's very tentative of them, even when then he finds out Liz's mate is actually his brother.
I loved that part. Yeah. It was like,
yeah.
But they also find out that Harlow's not well because like Liz
is
also pregnant and healthy and Harlow basically looks like shit. Right. Like that's what Liz is like.
And so neither.
Yeah.
Neither Harlow nor Rook, her partner, they didn't know like what's normal for this interspecies. He wouldn't know what's normal for pregnancy at all.
Anyway,
and she doesn't know what's normal for their cross species.
Yeah. Well, pregnancy. Right. None of them have had.
So they think this is normal for her to just be exhausted all the time. But a lot of the symptoms that they describe are actually pretty similar to like preeclampsia.
Yes.
Right. And so. When they see Liz and the contrast of how good she looks during pregnancy, that's when they realize something's really wrong. And then Harlow starts like fainting. And so they essentially are forced to go back to the main tribe so that she can be seen by the healer.
Yeah. And she was so bummed because she didn't want to leave their little beach. They're like beach cave, you know, but I mean, I think where I'm at, I think they're still, I know eventually, right. Are they still, where are you at? Are they still with the tribe or did they go back?
Yeah, they're still with the tribe.
Oh, okay, yeah. Eventually,
there's someone else that goes to look for that cave.
Mm, okay, I'll get there.
But doesn't find it. Yeah. there's some pretty exciting stuff that happens. We get some new species.
Ooh, okay.
They find, I think it's Josie. Josie is book six. She finds like it's essentially like a a lens, a telescope lens, and she uses it at the beach and sees what looks like an island.
Oh.
With green vegetation, which is unusual because the trees are pink where they are.
Right.
But she sees what looks like a green vegetative island. And from reading ahead, it sounds like that this is going to be like an island that actually has a tropical atmosphere.
Oh, move me there. I'd be like, yeah. I'm out.
Well, that's Lauren's book, Lauren's Barbarians.
So we just know,
it's perfect for you.
Ever abducted by aliens, just take me to that tropical place.
But that's where they start to get the two new girls, because they find the ship that Kira crashed and they realize that there was two girls in pods on there.
Oh,
like in stasis, like some of them were in the beginning. So that's where a couple of the two girls first come into it.
I'm going to have to keep. I mean, like I said, I'm on five. I'm not, I think I'm maybe like a quarter of the way, but they're short. Like they're not even long.
They're
books.
Really short reads. You can obviously read them in a day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, it's just so funny because again, honestly, if I was to see it, I'd be like, nah, that's not for me.
That's what I thought.
You piqued my interest. And look at me. I'm like, and it was five. Remember I text you and I was like, I'm on like book three of this book.
Yeah, you totally
stop.
Raced through those first few.
I did.
Oh, man.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny, too, because so we haven't really talked about the sex yet, but that's kind of the main hook here, right? Like they have tremendous, amazing sex. It's like their little cooies intensify everything. Yes. And then just the way anatomy wise, the way that the blue guys and the girls fit together, everybody's very, very happy. But it's funny, in Georgie's book, she's like, after their first, so that essentially non-consensual or like, you know, dubious for sure consent, she does initiate after that. So they, when they do have, you know, actual intercourse, she's the one who initiates that. But she says afterwards, she's like, because they start having a lot of sex and she's like, thank goodness you can't get me pregnant.
Well, I know. Yes, I saw. I saw that, and I was like, "Oh, I bet you that's going to come around and bite her in the ass soon."
There's one I highlighted a line where she was like, "To be fair, I thought he couldn't make me pregnant if it was interspecies sex," and then Liz says, "A Great Dane can still make a Chihuahua pregnant." Guess which one you are.
That's what I mean. I love Liz. Liz also cracked me up in Kira's book. I love in Kira's book where Ehako's like asking what he can do. And she's like, oh, just like, you're great with your carvings. Like just carve, you know, your dick essentially. Yeah. Like she will love that. You know,
and she's totally taking the piss, right? She's just,
oh yeah.
But I was she's like, trying to soak because in the beginning of Liz's book, she is just trying to like sow dissent in the tribe, right? Well, not in the beginning of the book, but once they're, because essentially she gets kind of taken away.
Yeah.
By her guy, because he's convinced that they're going to resonate for each other, but they haven't yet. And he kind of takes her away and then they do and they're happy. But when they come back to the tribe, the tribe is like, you can't do that. You kidnapped her, even though she, you know, in the end, it was happiness.
Yes.
So they make him initially just be exiled and he's not allowed to come in the caves and she's there. So she's super mad that she's being kept apart from him. And she does all these things she can do to like make everybody else unhappy, too.
Yeah, like never stops talking.
But that one had a funny side effect. So when he carved the essentially bone dildo.
Yeah, literally a bone dildo.
And it's like, she describes it as like, you know, like a baseball bat and like a foot long. And I was like, oh my goodness. Woo. And then she thinks later, because she's, you know, obviously it was just a big joke to get him to carve that for her. But she, in the end, she keeps it and likes it. And they end up using it together. And apparently it's actually a very realistic carving. There's no exaggeration there.
Yeah, Liz ain't wrong. You know, she knew. I love how Liz, that's her thing. Like she never shuts up. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm just going to annoy the shit out of everyone and just like keep yakking. And I think they go back and forth. I feel that's what I mean. Her book was just so funny to me because her and how do you say, is it Rehash?
Rahash, I think.
Rahash. Okay. Yeah. I love how they bicker back and forth, right?
Like they do. That's their thing. Yes. Yeah.
And I love it. And he's just like, okay, well, like you never shut the fuck up. Like, you know,
no.
He just, I don't know. I just love her. She's my favorite. Yeah. Is it Rahash? You're right. Rahash. She's my favorite one by far for that reason. And then just, I feel like that would be such a Liz move to be like, yeah, just carve your penis for her. She will love it. Like she will, that's how you get her to be interested in you.
This is what we do on Earth.
Yes. Yeah. This is like an Earth.
What she says.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, oh,
there's another one like that later where, cause Tiffany is getting bothered by all the males who don't currently have a partner are all like, you know, everybody's waiting. Cause there's, you know, at that point there's two girls left that haven't resonated for somebody and everybody's waiting for it to happen. To see who it will happen with. And so there's all these guys competing for Tiffany and it's driving her crazy because they don't leave her alone. It's like, here's some meat and can I do this for you? And well, like, they just won't leave her alone. Yeah. So is it Josie that comes up with a competition?
Yes.
So the guys are going to like compete for her. She describes it like Miss America pageant.
Yes. And
says that it's a tradition on Earth, which is sort of true, but gets the guys doing like competitions to win her.
Yeah.
But I to win the right to take her to the spaceship to get the language.
Yes. Yeah. I love though that they, so right. That's like the common theme. Like, well, this is what we do on Earth. I actually had, that was my one highlight from Liz's book, that part where she goes, human men give the women that they want to mate a very special gift. I could just like envision this whole conversation. Right. And he's like, oh, he sits up taller. I nod authoritatively. A replica of his penis made out of leather or wood or bone so she can try him out and see if she likes what he brings to the table. And then she says, you're welcome.
Yeah.
But I just love that. They're like, yeah, this is a total Earth custom. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, it's just.
She's so funny. There, I highlighted from her book when after they like connected.
Yeah.
In all ways, the quote is, now I see why Georgie was totally cool with Fektal claiming her as his mate. If he's anything like Rahash, he dicked the brains right out of her. I feel pretty brainless and giddy myself. I mean, I've had sex before, but sex with Rahash, it's kind of sex with capital letters and little hearts drawn around it. That shit was incredible.
See, that's what her.
That's just very Liz.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liz would be my BFF on Not Hoth because she would just crack me up, like just with her bluntness and zero filter. And just, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, I just love her. She's my favorite one so far anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in book three is, who's book three again?
Kira.
Kira is a virgin. Mm. And there's one point that she's discussing, you know, that basically she shouldn't fool around until she gets a mate. And she says, I should save myself up for a mate, provided I ever get one. And her guy is confused. And he's like, why should you save yourself? She thinks, won't he want to be the only one to touch me? I snort. I should think he would rather you know what you're doing. What kind of male would hold your pleasure seeking against you?
Yeah.
So I like that because it's very like, you know, if you want to do whatever you want. Like just, it's very sex positive culture. They're obviously they live in a small space. Yeah. So like you can hear when couples are at it. They don't have inhibitions around that.
That was why she was,
I know,
it amplifies. I'm just picturing, I'm like, oh man, like to hear every,
she was hearing every little bit.
It's like worse than,
I mean, she could even hear like the other aliens, right? Through that thing. When they were nowhere near her, she could hear them. So that would have been pretty awful.
That would have driven me crazy too. I would have done the same thing. I'd be like, get this thing out of me. I don't care. Like, I can't deal with this anymore. I just need silence. Like to constantly have talking in your head like that. I'd be like, ah!
No, she tries to muffle it and just can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super aware all the time of everything happening.
But
yeah. So we know that the sex is incredible. It's fun to read about. It's every bit of it is a little bit different. The different couples, they match up differently, like in terms of, you know, who's experienced and who's not and their preferences, whatever. So that's just a fun part of the read. But what I really like is that the dudes are actually super romantic.
I know.
Like they're always making these lovely declarative speeches about how, you know, you're the maid of my heart, and you're like, they're just always so flattering. They love their women, even though they, you know, at the very beginning, they're like, what are these ugly things? It's just actually pretty romantic. Like, it's not just smut. Mm-hmm. There's lovely romantic stories in there too.
I know. I do like that. I mean, again, I feel like it would be hard to not fall in love with one of them. You know what I mean? Like, there's such great men on there. Or aliens? Not men.
Males,
I guess.
I guess we do that. Would we do the ACOTAR thing of calling them males instead of men?
Probably.
Since they're not human.
It is crazy to me. Like, I wonder if, I don't know when she first wrote these, but I do wonder if Avatar was her like vision, because that's literally like, I don't remember the names of the guys in Avatar, but that's what I picture, just with horns.
Yeah, how they're described,
because
they're like 7 feet tall, lanky, muscular, the tail. I don't think the Avatar guys have the little spur at the base of their
Well, it was also
penises.
A Disney movie. So
yeah, that's true, even if they did. Well, and there wasn't didn't we learn though, even though it was a fairly safe for kids movies, we learned that the tail was very involved in mating, didn't we?
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, I didn't feel like explaining that.
It would have been out by the time she wrote this, because I think it's 2015 maybe the first book.
Yeah, it's just the similarities are just very it's like Avatar with rabbit vibrator-esque dicks.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say?
Sure. Yep. NSFW Avatar.
Yes, exactly. Not safe for work Avatar.
Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah, bingo.
18 plus only.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I like too that, you know, it's by like the fourth book, I was like, okay, so, you know, I'm getting to where there's only a couple girls left. And I was like, how is there 21 books? Like, what's going to happen? But then as I get to book five, I realize, oh, okay. And then the book six, this is how she's going to do it. This is how the world's going to keep expanding. So not only by them finding a couple girls, and then now, as I know, in the Ice Hope series where Lauren's book is starting, they're going to find a whole new, essentially slaver ship. But not only that, there's new environments that they're going to explore, and there's new creatures. Like, there's this creature in book six that is like a pterodactyl, essentially.
Oh,
yeah. Got to watch out for those guys.
Okay. Well, I guess it makes sense. Like, they're only on one very small. Well, I guess
part
it's not very
of the
small, but I mean, I guess it would. Anyway, I mean,
the furthest they travel is only a few days. So that's like a week away, I think it is, to the ocean. Like, that's a fairly small area.
Yeah. Right. On foot. Right. Exactly. Like, they're on
a whole planet. Like, who knows what there could be.
Right.
They haven't seen yet.
Right.
I guess we're going to find out as we work through the whole series.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm going to end up making it through the whole series at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe not like back to back, but
yeah, I think I'm going to take a break right now, as I've just finished book six. I kind of peeked into Lauren's book just to see kind of what was happening there, but I'm going to stop there for a bit, read some other books on my list, and then I'll come back to this one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we've said before that I'm a mood reader, so maybe I'll just have an inkling to read a barbarian book, and I'm sure I'll read them all over the course of this year.
Yeah, same. I will say I never thought I would read sci-fi romance. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, it just goes to show you never know what's gonna hook you.
It's totally true. And I think it's fun that most of the books we like, we put them under the umbrella of women's literature or chick lit. They're almost always a romance, and that's because that's what you and I enjoy reading, and that's the time of our life that we're in. Like, we talked about that, you know, I used to read a lot of thrillers when I was a teenager, but I just don't enjoy them anymore. I've never really enjoyed mysteries.
Same.
I read a lot of nonfiction books too, but not lately. Like, lately I've just been really into this, and it's probably a combination of factors why, but especially what we've gone through in real life in the past 2 years, this is my happy place, and this is what we're reading. However, even within that genre, there's such a variety, right? Like, there's a big difference between reading something like a Colleen Hoover, which has a lot of like heart-wrenching elements to it, versus like a Tessa Bailey, which is, or Megan Quinn, it's going to be a lot more rom-com and then something like ACOTAR, which is heavily fantasy based. And yes, there is romance and love stories in it, but there's also war and magic and those bigger themes, not real life themes. And then something like this. Now we're getting into the sci-fi element. So it's even within the romance genre, there's just a huge wide range of what you can read.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying all of it, right? And like you said, like now I'll probably finish up to book six. There's so many, like for me, it's hard for me to just do a series. Well, I guess I did that with ACOTAR, but like straight through, because like there's so many great books coming out this month and next month.
Right.
So I told you, like I just read The Player Next Door by K.A. Mm-hmm. Tucker, because The Hustler mm-hmm. Next Door is coming out very soon. And then we chatted in the last podcast about the, is it Never After? Like the dark fairy tales.
The Hooked and.
Yes. So Twisted's coming out. Yeah. So like, I'm going to pop and drop and read that, you know, like immediately.
Yep.
And then there's Megan Quinn's got another one coming out. And then I'm pretty sure T.L. Swan, Miles Ever After, is coming out soon too. Like on my Kindle, it always is like upcoming releases. And I'm like, ooh. Yeah. So, So
I have a bunch that are, like, I've already pre-decided my next like five books based on like that they're coming out. I have advanced copies of some of them, but they're coming out very, very soon. So I want to read them so I can share them with everybody. But one of the ones I'm really excited about, I just finished, is called A Guide to Being Just Friends. And that's great. It's a closed door romance. So that's the third in a trilogy. So I've been waiting for that one, because I read the first two about, like, it's a set of three brothers. Mm-hmm. So this is the third brother, and that book comes out on the 17th. So I was really excited to read that. Yeah, there's just a never ending list of books. So I do think, though, we got to get into the Throne of Glass series, but we don't have to, because that's a longer than ACOTAR, because it's eight big books.
The series.
We can do like, you know, one and then do a couple other books in between and then do another one.
Yeah.
Once you start it, if you're able to stop or not. Like with ACOTAR, you just had to keep going.
I had to keep going with ACOTAR. I know. I just did. I did a, over on my YouTube, I did a favorite products of 2022, and ACOTAR was one of them. My favorite book of the year, series of the year. I know. So we'll see. But I mean, same thing with this one. Like, we have a full year, and then like it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I feel like eventually I'll get through all of the books. It's just a matter of when. But so far, I'm glad to have read what I have read. Again, I flew through them. So did you.
Pleasant surprise.
I know.
Yep.
So
we flew through them. That was like, it's not technically winter on their planet, but it's an ice planet. So it felt appropriate to read at this time of year. Mm-hmm. There are actually, as you found out, you showed me that there are like Christmas episodes, essentially.
Yeah,
there's like Christmas a Barbarian's special. Christmas and there's a Barbarian's Valentine.
Yeah.
So may have to line up the reading of those ones with the holidays as they come this year.
We should. That's true. I guess it makes sense. Like, I wonder if the humans are like, hey, we want to have some holidays. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I will say is, so it's funny because Book Talk, like, it's interesting. So you're saying you got this from Book Talk, and it just goes to show, like, you are the one who said to me, like, okay, I found this, Book Talk recommended it, it's really good. And it is, like, it's just cool how people just sharing, whether it's on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, can bring you to new genres and all of that. So, I mean, they were spot on. I even went to and started, I don't know if you did it, after the ACOTAR fan art. I mean, I was like, Ice Planet Barbarians fan art.
Oh, I have not looked at any of the fan art.
Look it up.
The covers.
Yeah. There's not a lot.
I bet there is.
But there is some. Like, I honestly kind of wish there was more, but I'm not. Maybe I should reach out to some of the ACOTAR, like the people who do the amazing like digital art for the ACOTAR fan art, and be like, hey. Ice Planet Barbarians. But like, I did. I looked up the fan art on Instagram. I mean, some of them, it's just kind of cool to like see, you know, like how people depict, like, you know,
I'd like to see some of the creatures, particularly because on the covers, at least, like each of the covers, they're very like traditional romance, like bodice ripper kind of covers. Like there's a lot of naked chests and swooning women and that kind of thing on the covers. So we have a pretty good picture of what the actual Sakui look like, but all the different creatures that they describe that also live on the planet, I would like to see those.
I would too. Like the weird thing living in the stream where they thought it was like a
Have like a almost like an angler fish. They have a big thing that comes out and kind of lures them into the stream. Also the big one that they get the kui from, they sort of seem like a cross between like a brontosaurus. And they say, and they, it's a reference to Star Wars again, because they say it's like an AT-AT because it has like the big feet and then like spindly legs, big body. So it's like,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to, I literally just came across, maybe don't look at the fan art.
Show me. maybe don't look at the fan art.
I just came across. Okay. So I'm like,
what?
Right. Okay. So there you go. You could see
is that a,
so I was like, what the hell is that? And then I just scrolled. Oh, that's why.
What?
It's.
I can't even still see that very well.
What does it look like she's doing?
I see that. But that guy is like a fox.
Is that
a red guy right there?
That's a girl. That's who's the redheaded one? Harlow?
Okay, you're going to have to send me that picture. It's too small to see.
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm going to text it to you right now. Because I just, this,
I
like,
see what
really,
you're looking at here.
Really caught me off guard. Hold on. Well, just make sure you swipe. I just wasn't expecting to see. It's smut. 18 plus, swipe for uncensored.
Harlow and Rook. Oh, I get it. Okay, yes. Now I know what I'm looking at. I was seeing something completely different there.
Oh, not her going down on him?
Like when it was, when you were showing me on your screen, I thought I was seeing a totally different perspective. Okay. I get it. Woo. Okay. I don't think we'll be posting that in our group.
Nope. No, I don't think we're going to.
We will not be posting that.
Nope. I just wasn't.
Seek out your own. Seek out your own Ice Planet Barbarians fan art if you want to, because I think we might get in trouble if we.
Yeah, no, we're not doing
links
that.
To that.
Wow. What, like, what?
We are not.
Wow. There's definitely.
Now you're engrossed, aren't you? You're deep diving into the images.
Well, I don't know what. I don't.
Oh, I found kind of a nice one of Liz with her pregnant belly.
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's nice.
I did see that. I just wasn't. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting some of what I saw here.
Well, yeah, it's not that surprising, though, I think.
No. I mean, yeah. Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, wow. All right. Anyway.
Well, I kind of forgot about that visually that they, so once they get the kui inside them, it makes their eyes glow. So they talk about like the human's eyes at first looking so weird to them because they have like, they're just pale and dead looking. And then once you get the kui, their eyes glow like a turquoise blue almost. But that's kind of trippy to see in these pictures.
Yes. Oh, I bet you there's some more on Etsy. Wow. Okay. People really know how to sex these things up. Okay.
I mean,
anyway,
the book kind of does that. It's just illustrating what's already there.
Right. Wow. I just was not expecting to scroll.
I would say this is among the, would you say this is among the spiciest books that we've read?
You know, I feel like it's kind of in line with ACOTAR. No.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Of the sex scenes are, they go on for a long time. They're very detailed.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the words they use are words that, you know, are a bit more barbaric.
Okay. Yes. True. Yes. They use the C word a lot.
But I would say it's less spicy than, for example, Tangled and Tinsel.
I was just going to say, I feel like after reading Tangled and Tinsel.
Yeah, I know. It's everything's on a scale from
adjusted.
There.
Yeah. I feel like things have adjusted a little bit. And I'm like, oh.
Although, a little bit, you know, if we were going to give this one of our ratings, I think actually we might have to give it the Black Heart.
Yeah.
Because of the consent issue.
Yeah.
In book one. And there, I don't love that either. I wish that one scene, that's the only scene of without consent between the humans and the blue guys.
Agreed.
There's, like we said, there's other scenes of rape with the, essentially slave traders, I guess, are what the initial aliens are. And we only get one of those so far, as I've read, just so people are aware, if you are listening to this, we only get one of those kind of described in the first book. And after that, even in Tiffany's book, she's, you know, has flashbacks, but they are more about the before and after. Like, we don't actually get the act itself.
Yes.
So I appreciated that. We did not need it described. And so I'm glad she did it that way.
Same.
But yeah, that scene, that first scene, I wish we didn't have that.
Yeah, I feel
I think for that reason, it would have to be a Black Heart for book one.
I agree with you.
And after that, probably just like a fiery heart, but maybe on like the low end of it. It is pretty, like, things are described very explicitly.
Yeah, it's very descriptive. And again, like you said, the words can be a little, like, the jarring. C word is used a lot. I don't love
the
that
C word.
Word.
Yeah.
You know, no, like,
yeah. But that seems to be their standard word for girl parts.
Right.
It seems like the girls seem to use the P word and the guys seem to use the C word.
Yes. But those are always,
which I guess we could just say on here because we're explicit, but even I feel weird saying it.
No, I do too. Literally. I, those two words, like, I have a hard time reading first because it's just not a word in my vocabulary. And like,
right.
I'd much rather say vagina than like either of those two words. Like, I
gotcha.
I don't know.
Yep.
So it's just anytime there's a scene in any book where it's like, you know, do this to my P or C, I'm like, oh, man, it's just a little weird for me. Again,
it's jarring.
Personal preference.
But everybody like, different. Some people different. Use those words. That's their preference words. So
yeah. I just have a hard time.
To each their own.
Exactly. Like for Agreed. Me, it's a little much. But anyway. All right. Well,
you just sent me an Etsy link, but it just shows me a bunch of products. So it was the one that you were wanting
all
me to
them.
Look at.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all of them.
There's a mug that
I like
says,
the ones. I like the graphics that say "Take me to Not Hoth."
There's also a mug that says "Greet me like Vectel" with a tongue.
Oh no, don't do that, please.
I was like, no,
without asking first. That's like literally what we just talked about.
Literally, I know. Yeah.
Oh, Not Hoth National Park. I like that one.
I know. It's just funny.
Cute. Some of these are cute. I might need to get a sticker for my Kindle.
I was thinking the same. I might need to order a Kindle or order a sticker. Anyway, I think that wraps up Ice Planet Barbarians. If you guys read it or have read it, come join the conversation over on our Instagram. If there's any sci-fi romance books, I mean, hey, we've dug into this, right? Like, if you have any other suggestions, we are all ears. So come over on our Instagram.
Yep. We're always open for book suggestions.
Always.
That's how anybody learns about new books, right? Exactly. Somebody suggests it some way.
Exactly.
So keep doing it.
And again, if you are not already subscribed to us on your favorite podcast platform, please do. We are so appreciative of that. We've got some exciting episodes coming up. And thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Right. And enjoy those big blue barbarians if you choose. All right. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening.